Hello and welcome to Birthing New Earth, where courageous individuals are stepping up to ask the hard questions, look at the tough decisions, and make responsible choices necessary to leave sustainable living legacies of thriving life on this planet for the next seven generations and beyond. I'm your host, Kathy Forrest, founder of Celestial Forrest Institute, and we're here today with Anaya Sophia. What a dear friend and delightful treat.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kathy, for inviting me on.
I'm so excited that we get to have this conversation today. So I'm going to give the internet a minute because it looks like there's a little bit of wobbliness. I'm just going to wait.
Yeah.
Okay. Anaya Sophia is a mystic storyteller and author of Revelatory Wisdom. She teaches workshops throughout the world and is best known for the creation of Sacred Body Awakening. Known for showing up as a trailblazer, a resource of unapologetic truth and transparent courage, her heart is both fierce and tender. She carries an oral message that stirs the remembrance of a continuous lineage of the feminine principle that throughout the centuries has preserved its spiritual dignity without the need for permission or recognition from any other source. Her many books include Open Your Heart with Kundalini Yoga, Mini Size Me, and Womb Wisdom. Her most recent book, Fierce Feminine Rising, Heal from Predatory Relationships and Recenter Your Personal Power, reveals a map, a template that she was given as she wrote the book. It is the map of our absolute awakening, our return to the heart, believing in uncompromising truth, reckless beauty, and courageous love, knowing that life is worth more than money and there is nothing greater, nothing more important, nothing more sacred than protecting the sacred spirit deep within all life. With whatever time we have left, Anaya is even more committed to addressing head-on the many challenges that stand in our way and to ensure the birth of a golden age in our footsteps. So today, we are here on the day after the Scorpio full moon. And Anaya's topic is initiation, storytelling, and courage. So this is such an exciting time to be alive. And as we think about everything happening on the planet, what do you feel is the most essential for us right now?
My feeling is that a third of us carries great potential to allow the archetypal energies to flow through us at a time like this. And if anyone listening in today has that feeling about them, they would be quite wise to sit down and contemplate that a moment and have a little look. If you're resisting or denying that this could be so, I have a feeling that it really is an all hands on deck moment. Mm-hmm. And we are asked to become and call through everything that we have promised ourselves, others, and Source that we would seriously rock up in this moment.
Wow, yes. So this is almost a call to arms. It's like it's time.
A call to arms, a clarion call.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned to me that you feel like strengthening of community is very essential right now. Can you speak into that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a feeling that the days of the teacher, the guru, the hierarchy is completely over. And what is absolutely right for this next age is this community based upon equality, respect, honor, being able to facilitate one another's healing, one another's holding, and one another's becoming. So this beautiful kinship of trust and honor and respect, and being able to see the highest potential of everyone in the community, and really sort of like, woo, rooting for them to be able to step in that into that great and unknown new role. So compare and contrast, that's a thing of the past. Judgment and like, they're doing well, that's a thing of the past. Oh, yeah, I believe all of our medicine is found in community. But again, just across the board, blanket equality.
Wow. So that's going to require of folks trust on a level that maybe they haven't ever tapped into before.
Mm-hmm.
And trust has to be the lifeblood of the community. So how do we cultivate that in a time when, oh my goodness, no one knows who to trust or what to listen to right now?
I feel we're in a process of being backed into a corner where all of our awkwardnesses, all of our resistance, all of our disappointment and distrust is going to be squeezed out of us like a tube of toothpaste.
Right.
Everything's going to come up and the pressure is on. We got to be backed into this corner. We will have to trust one another. We will have to trust ourselves, and we will have to be trustworthy back to the people. So I would say if we've got a bit of time on our hands, we might look at, how do I as a woman feel about other women? Do I trust them? How do I as a woman look upon other men? Do I trust them? And vice versa. And look to see where we don't trust humanity and go to the uncomfortable places. You know, I, as a white woman, do I trust a woman of color more or less than a white woman? What about a man of color, more or less than a white man? We have to iron out our distrusts of one another, one another's religion, where we live upon the planet. All of this conditioning has to go.
Wow, that's big. So that is going to take a lot of courage. And I, you know, you have mentioned that you feel like courage is what's most needed. Where does that come from? How do we cultivate that?
Courage is something I feel that's in the heart. It's got nothing to do with brawn. It's not even bravery. It's a real heart. It's a depth of heart. You're still frightened. You're still uncomfortable, but you're going to do it anyway. Bravery, I sense, comes from bravado spirit. So bravery is where you would go through the process, but it's very much, I don't know, we could say solar plexus. It's coming from your will. I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. Whereas courage is coming from your heart. You are vulnerable. You are unprotected. You are afraid, but you're going to do this anyway. I saw a beautiful video the other day of a friend of mine called Mickey Willis from Ojai, California. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about, in such a beautiful heart space, how much he loves this world and how much he values his family and his own life and the life of nature and being able to live in nature. And in this deep, honest, solemn way, he said that he'd wiggled all the way down to the deepest parts of his heart, where he asked himself, would I be willing to die for my love of life. And with little tears forming in his eyes, he looked at the screen and went, yeah. Now I was watching like this. Because I could feel it. I could feel the same willingness. But I couldn't articulate it because around it was a great big patch of grief. Not grief for me, not afraid of me dying, but just how massive this love actually is for my life and the life of my loved ones and the life of all animals and nature. It's like the guardian of grief is kind of protecting that amount of love and gratitude for just having a life in the first place. Now, I reckon that is where we find the courage.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So we've talked about, you and I together, about brave risk-taking. Mm-hmm. And what does that look like? Because, you kind of distinguished between bravery and courage, and we need the courage to step into the brave risk-taking. What is that?
Well, I feel that us humans are sort of notoriously asleep or half asleep when things are comfortable. And of course, things are not comfortable anymore. And so we are being wakened from our slumber. And we will sense, particularly if we're in tune with our instinct or knowing, that we are being asked to rise, to stand, to speak out, to say no. I'm thinking, things like mandatory vaccinations. Now, I know I'm going to be brave enough. Right, here is my brave moment. I imagine that there's a lot of people on this call who do not want the mandatory vaccination. Now, I myself, who is so clear, I don't want this. But if it comes with a little dangly carrot to say, well, if you don't have it, you're not going to travel, I confess, I went, would I? But that courageous part of me says, no, I would not. No, there is nothing you can tempt me with. Because that's my conviction, that's my value. So I feel during this lockdown, during this outbreak of coronavirus, we will be given plenty of opportunity to step into that courage. And I would say grab it with both hands, because it is a gift for you. It is a gift to enable you to become more of you, because we have been asleep. People say the word sheeple. We're a bunch of sheeple.
Right.
So we have to be compassionate with ourselves. We have been Sleeping Beauty. And we have enjoyed a remarkable period on the planet where you could just press a button and your order is going through and it's going to turn up at the house the next day. Those days might be over. So just you hang in there, beloved people. Your opportunity will come really soon.
Right. Wow. So thinking in terms of laying down a future, and obviously these things that we've been talking about, courage and bravery, all of those are necessary. But if some of the things that have happened as a consequence of all of us stopping are good. We get to enjoy our families more. We get to be home more. The atmosphere is clearing because of less pollution. So when you think about laying down structures, because there's tons of planets in Capricorn for this whole year to help us lay down the structures for the future. Mm. What do you see are some of those structures? How can just common everyday people that, don't don't do what we do. Don't put our voices out there to the masses, but just live their lives every day. What are things that we can put in place right now that are going to help lay that future down for our children and children's children?
Well, I think the first one really is, if we have the chance, if we have the opportunity, is to make a garden. That was the first thing that bludgeoned me, poof, when I first went into lockdown. And, you know, for the first week, food was a little bit scarce on the shelves. Mm-hmm. And this was the first time in my life I'd ever come across that feeling and the vision of, oh, empty shelves. So that was the first thing that came in with such a massive force. You, madam, me, you have been absolutely dependent on the supermarkets for your food. Now, you know that's not in your ancestors. Your father was a gardener, your mother's a gardener, your grandfather was a gardener. What happened? What happened? I threw it all away. I went to London, I lived in an apartment, I threw it all away. I never imagined that I might need to be a gardener to create my own food. It never entered my headspace. So that is the first thing that happened. On our knees, we had no gardening equipment, so at times I was digging with my hands. We got little tiny spades, myself and my husband. We just threw ourselves into the garden, and that, the gardening, kept our minds clear. We didn't have time to be afraid. We certainly didn't have time to check the news and hang on every word from Boris Johnson or Donald Trump. So it's such a win-win situation. You throw yourself literally into the land. And the land bestows you back with good healing and a sense of, I strangely belong. I belong. I am meant to be doing this. So that is the first thing.
I so totally agree. Right. I totally share your experience, because my parents were gardeners, my ancestors were gardeners, and I had even been a gardener. I live in a community, but also the city where I live. We're a bunch of tree huggers. So that's the norm here. And I had let it all go, because I think there was a book written not too long ago about the $500 tomato, where you spend all the money in the garden and then, you know, for one tomato, and you can just go buy an organic tomato. So I had totally just reasoned it out of my world. And even before the big blast in March, I had gotten the guidance, oh, you're going to do a garden this year. You're going to do the garden for the community. And I resisted. But yes, I'm in the dirt right now. And I think that is one of the most fundamental things we can do.
I'm going to be really, really funny. I don't have very good fingernails, so just ignore my fingernails. Right. Pay attention to what you see in them.
Absolutely.
I have literally just come in.
Right? I knew that. I knew that she's going to have been outside in the yard just because of the time gap. So, and, you know, the win-win of being in the garden and, you know, pulling up all that earth vibration in your body that we haven't been accustomed to doing is going to shift humanity tremendously.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Also going to take us to a place where we might be having memories or nudges from our ancestors. So if a person wanted to make that kind of connection, what would they do? What do you do?
Well, I think stage one is to just literally use the mind to begin with. Who, who is in my ancestors? What two countries, what two regions, you know, mum and dad, what has made me? And you just take it from there. You just start off by doing a little research finding out about your parents, the two sets of grandparents, and then back and back and back. And then I am a great believer that ancestors come when you call their name. So if you can get a few names, that is definitely going to be to your value, to your support. And probably you're going to imagine that, you know, a whole flock of people appear before you in your imagination. That's great. But remember, they're actually in here. They are in your veins. That red stuff called blood, that is where you need to be aware of them emerging. Not necessarily as like phantoms and silhouettes in front of you in your imagination, but rather emerging, their presences emerging up and within your everyday blood. Now that takes things to a whole nother level.
Right. And you can get your mom and dad to help you in the garden. Yes. Literally.
Yeah.
For sure.
I've been doing lots of praying to Ceres. Ceres is the old Greek goddess of the harvest. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, please help.
Right.
I have no clue what I'm doing. Please help.
Well, you know, the good thing about it is I keep telling myself it's not rocket science. You put the seeds in the ground and they grow. It doesn't have to be hard, although my body thinks it has to be hard sometimes.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You can feel it if you haven't done it for a while. So this is such a delightful conversation. If someone wanted to make a connection with you, do they do that through a website, through your books? How does that happen?
Well, you can find me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, you know, for a casual little back and forth. Mm-hmm. But if you wanted something a little bit more in depth, definitely stroll over to the website, which is my name, AnayaSophia.com. Mm-hmm. There's loads on that site. It really is like a hall of records. Beautiful. From videos and blogs and audio, everything. I've just stacked it up over the years. Mm-hmm. And there's like a contact form so we can have a private discussion, seeing what's happening and all.
Beautiful. So you have a new book. Is there anything you want to share with us about what's inside of there?
Well, the new book, you said it at the beginning, Fierce Feminine Rising, Heal from Predatory Relationships and Recenter Your Personal Power. Mm-hmm. So this was written actually 2 years ago. But you could see now, because it's written with this viewpoint, this, you know, heal from predatory relationships. That probably sounds like you've had a dodgy partner. Mm-hmm. Or you've had a dodgy boss. But the predatory relationship could also be a corrupt government, a corrupt monarchy, a corrupt legal system, healthcare system, educational system. So when you read it through those eyes, maybe the whole predatory relationship is actually the world,
right?
Predating on us to spend, to consume, to be afraid, to be careful around others, to not gather, to not do this, to not do that. Maybe when our eyes really open, we'll look back and go, holy moly, right? Now I see the predatory relationship. And it's not to fight the predators, because that's just playing their own game, but it's to get wise and to sniff out and snuffle and take back our power in a very elegant, actually, a very elegant, a very wholesome way.
Beautiful. I've ordered mine. Can't wait to read it. Can't wait to read it. So you a storyteller, and the free gift that you're offering everyone watching is the fireside story of Mary Magdalene. And that just sounds juicy and delightful. You care to share anything about that with us?
Well, I would say one thing. Please, 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 please let it be the last thing you do at night. Get in bed, press play. Imagine if you want, I'm sat on the bed. And this is the last thing you listen to, because if you can fall into to sleep after this tale, you will meet an energy that you recognize as your Mary Magdalene. You will.
I totally agree with that. And that is such a blessing for anyone that has that experience. So I wish that for all of our listeners today. Anaya, this has been amazing. Utterly amazing. I just love speaking with you. Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners today?
Not that I know of, but I just want to say completely likewise, straight back at you, Kathy. So if anyone's listening, please enjoy the space between us.
Right.
And our rapport and love of one another. Right.
It's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.